Amen. Let's take our books, Breadcrumbs book, pages 383. We're starting there, July 5th. Amen. It says, returning to the cross. Interesting. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. This is the book, what it's saying. When we come to Christ as lost sinners, we admit that we cannot save ourselves and that we are totally dependent on Christ and what he did for us on Calvary. God evaluates the repentance of the heart, the brokenness of the spirit, the humility of the soul, and he washes us clean. He makes us whole. Today, as believers, there are still things held within our beings that need to be changed. Some are stubbornly hidden within the deepest confines of our souls. Some bubble up to the surface, easily seen and recognized by others. So acknowledging again the impossibility of me changing me, I plunge myself one more time into the cleansing power of the cross. It is here where by faith I experience the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. He gives me grace for the day and removes a small portion of the unchanged side of me, seen or unseen. This stands good until tomorrow when, heavy with need but strengthened by faith, I turn once again to faith in God's marvelous redemption plan. This is where my spirit soars free, burdens are removed, and I experience the cleansing, healing, and empowering reality of the cross, one day at a time. One day at a time, people. Keep your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And he will cleanse those things out of us that needs to be cleansed and taken out of us. We cannot do it ourselves at all. If we could do it ourselves, Jesus would not have had to come. I mean, if you would take your Bibles and make our declaration before him, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Well, I sure hope everybody had a great July 4th yesterday. I hope everything went well. I hope you celebrated our country 250 years of existence upon the earth. God ordained, God inspired, and God led. And so we thank God for the many blessings and what he has done in our country. We know we live in the greatest country ever. And we don't shy away from saying it because there's no other country where people are knocking on the doors to come in like this country because of the blessings of the hand of God that's upon it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that he has given unto us. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, page 2034. You know, probably each and every one of us could go to the day that we got saved. And when I talk about being saved, I'm talking about the John chapter 3 experience of salvation. When we got to the place, because people were praying for us and we didn't even know, but we got to the place where we decided that, you know what, I can't live my life the way I'm living anymore. And we chose a different path. We chose to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our God, that we would serve him with everything within us to the best of our ability. It says, and we go from self and serving the enemy before to after salvation of now we are in Christ, which is a major thing. We go from one place of self and really our father being the enemy, the devil. I know we don't like to think that because we all think we're pretty good, basically, to somewhat extent. To now we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. He comes and cleanses us from all sin. He breaks the bondage of sin upon our minds and our hearts. and he makes us and puts us in Christ, in him, which is a miracle. Probably the greatest miracle is every one of us accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, gone from serving the enemy to now serving God and doing what he desires and wants us to do. And we step into the threshold of being now in Christ. We're not in self anymore. We're not in the enemy anymore. We're none of that stuff now. We've crossed over and we've accepted him as Lord and Savior. And now we are what? In Christ, in him and what he's done. Look at first this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And that just means people that are not preaching. And that's years ago, and it's still happening today, not preaching the cross of Calvary. But as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ, observing those things that are in Christ. You see, you're not just someone after you got saved that's just lollygagging around the earth, people. We're not just here going from one thing to the other. We are in something. We are in Christ. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is the one that leads us and guides us. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that spiritually feeds us. He's the one that gives us a desire to serve him and to know him and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. Every time you share about him in whatever capacity or whatever way, you are sharing and you're giving of yourself because you're in Christ. He took you from one lifestyle now to a different lifestyle. Have you noticed now you can't do things like you used to do before you got saved? Because it's the God in us that lives on the inside of us that is showing us what's right and what's wrong. That's showing us light from darkness. That's giving us life instead of death. Because we are in Christ. That's how precious you are to him. In Christ. The benefits of that cross, of being in Christ, is we become new creatures in him. We see things differently. We look at things differently. Because he's taken the scales off of our eyes. And now we're moved by the Spirit of Almighty God. What he likes, we now like. What he dislikes is what we dislike. Because we're in Christ. Old things are passed away. And we know, as the scripture says, all things become new in him because of what Christ has done for us. And remember this, none of this was possible before the cross of Calvary. None of it was possible before Jesus died on Calvary's cross. That's why in the Old Testament and the first few books of the New Testament, you don't see those things. Answer your phone. Nicole is saying, it's my mama. That's okay. Amen. You know that cost you? No. It's Becky. Amen. But you see, what we are before is what we are not anymore. We are in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, what you like before you don't. Now you desire the word. Now you desire fellowship with him. Now you desire for God to break the strongholds of the enemy that he has upon our hearts and souls. To break those things so we could be free, which God has made an avenue to be free. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, page 2084. It says this, page 2084, it says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our lives were dead before the cross. Our lives were dead before we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it says now that we've given our lives to him and accepted Jesus Christ, our lives are hid with Christ in God. You're not on your own anymore. You are hid in Christ. That means he envelops you. He comes and he puts his arms around about you. You are his, and everything that happens to you, he will take care of if you keep giving it to him. Hey, welcome to the world. Things happen. Things happen. And things happen even to Christians nowadays, since the beginning of time. And disappointments will come. Heartache will come, but I tell you what, we have a God we serve, that we are hid in him because he's decided to put us there. He's saying, you're not on your own anymore. I will take care of you. Come and I'll cover you. I'll protect you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. That's the kind of God we serve. That's just not letting us roam out there. Yes, with him on the inside of us, but he's out there helping us, being with us, protecting us, helping us to make the right decisions, giving us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to be with us upon the earth. That you and I are not alone. We are hid in Christ the Father. We are hid in Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is here with us to lead us and guide us in the right direction and to be with us. You should be writing these scriptures down because you need to go over these things, these scriptures, every day. Saying, I'm hid in Christ, Lord. I've given my life to you. I'll not serve the enemy any longer. I'll not be half-hearted with Christ and half-hearted with the other part of not Christ. But I will stand firm. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But it does mean that we have a God who will move mountains on our behalf to make things happen for the glory of God. You know, Jesus said in John 14:20, for I am in the Father and the Father in me and I in you. My Lord. Jesus said, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. But also, let me tell you this, Jesus is in us, living on the inside of us, helping us to become what he desires and wants us to be. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, page 2063. Look at this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Look, I'm just reading. It says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ's resurrection was our resurrection, giving us a newness of life. Don't settle in your life. Don't settle. Christ's resurrection was our resurrection, giving us a newness of life. Read the scripture again. And has raised us up together. My Lord. And I'll read what the comment says. The resurrection of Christ from the tomb was our resurrection as well, spiritually speaking, and gave us newness of life, people. And now we sit together with him, my Lord, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number four, look at Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, page 1983. Page 1983, look at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You should have shouted right there. Because I tell you, what I have seen, most Christians walk in condemnation. I'm telling you, they condemn themselves. We do not walk in condemnation. You as a Christian, you are hidden in Christ. God is your Savior. You don't have to be condemned by the enemy or even by self. Don't let that happen. I would say, well, Pastor, I failed God. Well, okay. Acts of forgiveness and go on. What a mighty concept for the church of God, huh? I'm not talking about the church of God in Christ religion. But what a mighty concept. You failed God, ask for forgiveness and go on with him. Don't let yourself condemn you. Don't let the world condemn you. Don't let the enemy condemn you. Don't let people condemn you and tell you you will not become what God wants you to be. Look, thank God, God put failures in this word. I'm not talking about failures with Christ. I'm talking about the failure of men that have failed God. Some turned and went in the right direction, and some did not. But what did God look at? God looked at the heart of a man. He looks at their heart and he says, what can I do? Look, don't condemn yourself. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not worth anything. You'll never be anything. That is not truth, because everything the enemy says is totally opposite of God and his word. We are hid in Christ. God's wanting to move within the hearts and lives of you and I like never before. He wants the power, the presence of Almighty God. And he wants us to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey what the Spirit of God says, so that the work of God can be done upon the earth and no man can stop it. Don't you think in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, do you think that there were men, religious men and women around there that were trying to stop what God tried to do, was going to do? They couldn't stop the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't stop it. You do everything you can to see God's work be done upon the earth and make sure it's God's work. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of bozos around here and there that are claiming that God told them this and this. God, you turn away and you just want to go, oh my God, this is your church? But I tell you what, you let God speak. And let me tell you, when God speaks, God provides and God moves. We need a move of God, people, upon our church, upon our communities, upon the workforce. And we as lights of the kingdom of God, we got to allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and show us things. You know, there are some things that God will speak to you that it's only for you. And it's not for us to blab to somebody else. But there are some things that God will speak to you that is for someone or someone else. And you go and you shout it out, the word of the Lord. We have to learn to let the Spirit of God move. And let me tell you, the church gets antsy when the Spirit of God starts to work on people during a church service. But you see, God is a gentleman, and he will work and he will move and he will settle things in the spirit of a man. It says in Timothy, and maybe I need to read this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It was talking about Paul to Timothy. Let's turn to there. Let's turn to it. 2106. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. See, Paul was writing to Timothy. You know, 1 and 2 Timothy, it was written to an individual person, Timothy. You know, some of the books that Paul wrote, you know, like to the Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians, all that stuff, that was to churches. That wasn't just make-believe churches. That was actual churches that were established in those cities, in those areas that they sent these letters to. That Paul, which was not one of the 12 apostles, pinned down by the Holy Spirit. A lot of them he wrote from prison. I mean, you know, he was in prison. Many, just because he spoke the word, just because he preached the gospel, he went to prison. They hated him, you see. Let me tell you, the world will not love Christ. They will not love the church. And that's a good thing. We want them convicted by the Holy Ghost, that they repent of their sins and ask God to forgive them and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives. Because you see, there's only one way to heaven. And man will try to come up with 20 different ways to get to heaven. Or let's make it 100, because we'll probably pass that anyway. But you see, explicitly it says in the word of God that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven on your parents' salvation. You can't get to heaven by accepting anything else or any other small god, little g, upon this earth. There's no other way except Jesus Christ. It's very narrow, very narrow. Jesus. If there was any other way, Jesus would not have had to come. And we know he came because that was the only way. And we got to pronounce that to the world, the people we see, when God opens the door by the Holy Ghost, that Jesus is the only way, accepting him as Lord and Savior. Timothy, look at verse 6. It says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. My Lord, my Lord. Here we see Paul writing these short letters to Timothy. Timothy had the word of God in him. He followed Paul. He did many exploits for the kingdom of God. The apostle Paul in this second Timothy is striving to comfort and sustain Timothy under the trying and perilous circumstances of which he, Timothy, would be placed at. And at times, prophetic warnings coming unto him concerning coming heresies. And haven't we seen that? He had it back then. We have heresies today. And directions as to how Timothy is to meet them. Its main purpose was to encourage Timothy. So here we see Paul is writing from a jail in Rome, and it wasn't long after he wrote these letters that Paul was executed. We don't hear many preachers being executed nowadays. I mean, they're probably in certain countries, things are happening. But you see, Paul was executed, but he wrote a letter to Timothy to encourage him. And at one point in verse 6, it says to stir up those gifts, Timothy. Another version says, fan the flame that has already been lit within you. You see, the flame that is in you happened at salvation. And sometimes, instead of it being a flame, it's almost like a little ember. You see, that ember may get small, but I tell you, there's always an ember in somebody that has given their life to him. Even though they may reject God after that, there's still something on the inside. God still has his claws on the inside of a man or a woman that gives their life to him. And even though they may turn from him, he still has a little place on the inside that he can try to draw back by the Holy Ghost. Because you see, God, our Lord and our Savior, loves people. We may not like what people do at times. We may not like what they say, but we have to love. And just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to spend hours with them. I mean, that's not, but we have to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love people. Jesus loves you. And yet sometimes the flame that has been roaring for years becomes very subtle on the inside. But you see, it's a flame that and a fire that has been set by the Holy Ghost on the day of your salvation. It's in it, in you. And sometimes, you know, as a flame is going out, you have to blow oxygen in it to make that flame come back up. Well, we need the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow over our souls and blow over the embers of our hearts so that it can burn with fire on the inside of us. To have the Holy Ghost fire on the inside of us. It says that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like tongues of fire upon their heads. That doesn't mean there was fire, but it was like tongues of fire that were rolling upon their heads because of the power and the presence of Almighty God. We need a touch from Almighty God like we've never seen before to touch this world mightily for the kingdom of God. You see, our routines have to match up with what God wants for each and every one of us. The routine of life. You might say, well, I read my Bible. I don't get much out of it. I'm reading and reading. Let me tell you, keep on reading, because let me tell you, the fire will grow. As you read your word and as you pray and as you seek God, God the Holy Spirit is blowing on the inside of your heart. And let me tell you, it will burst into fire. The fire of God. The fire of the Holy Ghost. You see, we need it back in our churches. We need it back in our lives. We need it back in our families. That we sense and feel the presence of Almighty God continually upon our hearts. Yes. We're not dead people. If we were dead, well then let's give up. But I tell you what, God says, I've come to give you life and that you would have it more abundantly. Let the rolling of the Holy Ghost be upon our hearts, Lord. Let set us afire again, Lord God, for the things of the Lord. Let our minds and our hearts be settled upon the word of God. Let us take that word and claim it to the heavens above. It says that God is faithful like the clouds above the heavens. He's faithful. He will never let us down in the things that we're believing him for. Blind Bartimaeus sat at that gate for how many years? And not a soul basically even looked at him. Can you imagine? Begging. The only ones that kind of maybe talked to him a little bit were the ones that brought him there and back from his house. But he sat at that gate with a mat underneath him and a little tin can in front of him, begging, begging, begging for a little bit of alms or money that he can buy a little bit of food with and stay healthy. That's all he could do till the King of Kings rode into the inside. People, we may feel like blind Bartimaeus. You know, he didn't know Jesus was coming till he kind of heard a little bit. He could not see him. He was blind. But I tell you what, Jesus saw this man. Look, Jesus sees where you are. He wants to do a mighty work in your heart and in your life. Be open to him. Say, Lord, I don't understand it. Let me tell you this. We're asking for God to move, but it may not happen in an instant. We have to be loyal to the things of the Lord. We have to be consistent with the things of God. That he knows we'll get up and we'll pray and we'll seek his face and we'll call out the word of God unto him. Oh, my Lord. Saying, Lord, you see this word. I stand upon it. Lord, without you, we're dead, Lord. Without you, we're defeated. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, we think we can live this Christian life on our own. Can't do it. I'm telling you, you will fail God. You will be destroyed by the enemy. But this is what we do. We stay hid in Christ like we talked about earlier. And we go to him. And blind Bartimaeus, he heard that the King of Kings was coming. He heard people talking about the miracles that were happening. He couldn't see him. So I'm sure his head was probably down. That's what I'm thinking. Don't send me a letter or something saying, no, I think his head was up. It doesn't matter to me. It could be up, down, whatever it was. But I know this. He was calling out to his God. There was a hope on the inside. People, keep the hope alive in your heart. Don't let it go down the drain. Keep it alive. Keep it alive. Keep it alive. Let that flame come bursting on the inside of us, saying, Lord, burn those things in me. Lord, help me to know your commandments, Lord God. Let help me to do your will, Lord God. Help me to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. A consecrated life unto him. You don't hear that much today. You know what the church says? Do what you want to do. Whatever makes you feel good. Feel good. Feel good. We'll all be in sin. So what we do is we serve God. And we say, Lord, my heart is for you. Consecrate me. Take those things out that need to be taken out. And we put our faith and our trust in him and what he can do. And the things that have entangled you from day one, God could break off as you keep putting your faith in him. Lord, I put my faith in no one else but you, Lord. And you're going to break this thing off of my life. And because his word is true, he will break it one day. You might see it start, the ropes start to unravel, and it will break one day. We keep our faith and trust in him, and we know this, blind Bartimaeus, as he called out, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. It's an amazing thing as he was walking. You know, there was a lot of people around him, huh? A lot of religious people, a lot of people that were great people, whatever. But one caught his attention. Are you catching the attention of your God? He wants you to. You know what draws his attention? I can tell you one thing. It's when you go before him and you say, Lord, forgive me. And you ask him to do mighty things and you praise his name. Because blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy upon me. And the mercy of God walked in his path. And we know the end of the story. They brought him to him and Jesus healed his blindness. First, he healed his heart of a relationship with him. Then he healed the physical. Physical is important. When you're in pain or something's happening, that's bad, huh? I mean, you know, you need God. But I tell you what, God is interested in this heart thing right here. That's the most important thing to him. Your relationship to him. Where does it stand today? Where does it stand? I don't know. You know, and you might say, well, Pastor, do you know something? I don't know. No, 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 no. You know, a little song, it's me, oh Lord, needing prayer. We all need that prayer. But keep your relationship to Him and let God, the Holy Spirit, blow upon that flame, that ember. Say, Lord, light the fire in me, Lord. Some of you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Why not? Why not? And when I say filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, when we got saved, God came in, but an overflowing of the Spirit of God. You should be calling out to God for it day and night, saying, Lord, fill me. You might say, well, I need somebody to lay hands on me. I didn't have anybody lay hands on me. I got water baptized, went back to my house, laying in bed and said, Lord, I want to be filled. If it's your will, I'm thinking, if it's your will, it's God's will. And all of a sudden just started speaking in tongues. No one laid hands on me. Nobody prayed over me. Zero. People have been filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues while they're driving their vehicles, in the bathroom, on the job, everywhere. God is not a respecter of person that you only get it if. No. The only if is if you're born again. That's all. If you have Him, it is yours. It's the power of Almighty God being placed in your heart and life. Need the fire of the Holy Ghost upon us.